I'm fine, Faiz. How are you?
All right.
I didn't see you yesterday in Parliament.
Yeah, no, to I had some work in the Southern Cape, but I'll be in the house today, definitely.
Okay, thanks.
Are we having a quorum already?
I'm just waiting for one member.
I'm here, King.
Thank you, Mr. Ifrah. Honorable members.
Recording in progress.
Good morning, honorable members. I think we can start the meeting. We are having a quorum. In the morning, honorable members, I received and information, a call from our chairperson, who is, she was sounding very down, and then she indicated that she was from the doctor and she's got a mouth sore, so she cannot talk properly, and requested to be excused in the meeting. So as according to our rule book, in the absence of the chairperson, we'll have to elect an acting chairperson to continue with the meeting. So right now in the platform, I've identified members who can form the quorum, and so we can be able to elect an acting chairperson. So right now I'll call for members to elect a acting chairperson to continue with our meeting.
King, it is 9 April here. I would like to nominate Honorable Faiz as the acting chairperson for this meeting, Faiz Jacobs.
The name of Honorable Jacobs has been raised. Any seconder?
That's
been raised by Honorable April. Any seconder?
That's Honorable Mieni.
Oh.
Honorable Mieni, King, I do second Honorable April.
You second the name of Honorable Jacobs?
Yes.
Okay. Honorable Mieni has seconded the proposal by Honorable April to nominate Honorable Jacobs. Any further name? So in the absence of any further name, then we request Honorable Jacobs, if he's available, to be an acting chairperson for the session. Then I will hand over to Honorable Jacobs to proceed with the meeting. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Thank you again, Mr. King. Greetings, everybody. It's an honor for me to chair again. Let's start with the meeting. The meeting is open. Welcome, everybody, to all our members and to all our guests. That is the Parliamentary Parliament Committee, Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. We have the agenda in front of us. So consider the meeting opened and you all are welcome. I think the purpose of today's meeting is to get an update. Parliament has asked this committee to submit a report on the outstanding matter with regard to the independent field technicians and Telkom. So that's the main agenda for the day. But before we go into that matter, let's start with roll call. And apologies, Mr. Kunene. we have any apologies from any members?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. We received an apology firstly from the Chairperson, who is Honorable Suela, and we also received an apology from Honorable Lubengo, who had indicated that she has got an appointment with the doctor today. So those are the apologies that we have received, Honorable Jacobs.
Thank you.
On the side of the staff, Ms. Melegan has also requested to be excused. She is writing exams, the researcher for the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, great. Honorable members, with those apologies, can we note those apologies? And then the next item is the adoption of the agenda. So colleagues, in front of you will see a few things, the briefing on the progress and the outcome of the petitions from the independent field technicians with regard to the contractual dispute with OpenServe at Telkom Sustainability. We will get a presentation and we'll get a discussion on that. Members, I'm sure you know this is a long-standing issue. We hope that we will get some finality on the matter today. And then the issue that's also on the table is a resolution on the legislation proposal for a committee bill. I think members have raised this thing in various capacities, and today we will have a deliberation on that and hopefully find some resolution on a way forward on the bill. And then the last matter will be the consideration and adoption of last week's minutes. So that's the agenda. Can I call for a mover or seconder of this agenda, please?
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the agenda as is.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. Can I get a seconder?
That's Honorable Mien again. I do second the Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Honorable Miani. Colleagues, with that, this is our agenda. So we're not going to waste time. We're going to try to be as businesslike as possible. I want to now invite the item briefing on progress and outcome. So maybe we will get, maybe we'll lead this this presentation.
I think, Chairperson, you can send it, you can hand over to Mr. Chani, who is the leader of delegation. Then we'll hear from him, who will be making the presentation.
Welcome, you, welcome, Chair. Mr. Chani, and welcome to the Portfolio Committee. You have all the sharing rights, and we are all ears. The floor is yours. Thank you for coming, and over to you with the presentation.
Well, thank you.
Just unmute your microphone, Mr. Chani.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will request that you give the sharing rights to Ms. Mukwesi for the projection of the presentation. While we are doing that, I should thank the committee members and the Chairperson for giving us an opportunity once again to come and explain our interactions with the IFTs. If you recall, in the last meeting, it was said that let us engage with each IFT. From our side, as Telkom, firstly, let's apologize that we don't have the CEO present and as well as the CEO of OpenServe. We promise to come back, and indeed we are here. After we undergone a very scientific approach and study to the matter to understand the cold facts around it, you don't wish to make general statements. I think we came to a point now where you are dealing with the cold facts around the matter to understand what went right, what went wrong with respect to the IFTs for each granular detail on each and every IFT. whether what is due to them or what is due to us. So here we are presenting now the report that was undertaken by independent auditors to provide those cold facts to us, to say to Telkom and its shareholders that this is what transpired and this is going to be the next action as recommended by the auditors. On top of that independent process, Chair, I must say to all and the members as well, even within Telkom or OpenSafe, you have an independent ombudsman or person group that went through all of these, recommended the company independently so that we don't seem to be biased around this matter. So here we are today, Chair. I'm led by presenting about two women leaders from Telkom. Mkhwesi Ramphanyane is going to give the overview of that detailed auditor's report, as well supported by Mpho Khunguane, and she also provide to support Mkhwesi around those recommendations that came from the auditor's report. Thereafter, we wish to get your guidance as the committee around this. We should say, as Telkom, we are, of course, have respect to the good business practices, and we owe it to our customers, we owe it to our shareholders. So we are here to present an honest report, so thereafter we're going to get your guidance. Very short, Chair, less than 10 slides. We'll try to go through quickly as soon as we can. Can I hand over to Mr. Mkhwesi and Adam Paul, our ladies' leadership? Thank you.
Thank you for the introduction. Please proceed.
Thank you, Pindile. Good morning, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee and other respectable members attending the meeting, all protocol observed. My name, just a brief introduction of myself. My name is Mkhwesi Ramphanyane. I'm the Chief Regional Officer for KwaZulu-Natal, Free State and Northern Cape regions, reporting to the CEO of OpenSafe and attending the meeting on his behalf as well. I joined Telkom in 2014 as an executive for procurement, and then in 2017 joined the regions under the leadership of the CEO of OpenSafe. So I'm also a member of the Supplier Compliance Management Council, which looked into this matter, as Pindile indicated, that an independent body within OpenSafe, within Telkom structure, actually looked at the matter. So initially, the chairperson of the Supplier Compliance Management Council was Mr. Sean Botas, whom you have dealing with previously, and he was asked to step down as requested by the IFTs so that we have independent people who look into the matter. So I had to step in then as a chairperson, but I've always been the member of the Supplier Council. I will share my screen shortly. I'm used to Teams, so I hope I find it easy on Zoom. Okay, let me just project. Okay, hopefully everyone can see my screen now. So just to recap on where we come from and where we are now, to refresh our minds a bit. This first slide is basically just to show you the structure within Telkom, which I assume everyone is familiar with. We have BCX, which is 100% owned subsidiary, OpenSafe, which started being a 100% owned subsidiary from the 1st of September. We've got Telkom Consumer, which is an internal BU within the Telkom structure. We've got YEP, which is also an internal BU for small, medium enterprises. And we have Gyro, which is also a 100% owned subsidiary. If I move on to the next slide, which provides background on the matter. So the last meeting that was held with the respectable members of the committee was on the 18th of May, where, as indicated by Pindile, we were requested to have separate sessions with the IFT and come up with a resolution. So since the 18th of May, we have 7 of the 11 IFT companies that were part of the dispute recusing themselves from the process and saying they are happy with the or satisfied with the amendments that have been made to the contracts during the dispute process. So the table below just indicates the name of the seven that said they are moving away from the dispute. I will not call out the names, as you can see the arrows there. I will just indicate the names of the four companies that are still part of the dispute that we engaged with, which is Folo Electrical, Mzansi Broadband, Tobela Communications, as well as Sudani. So the committee or the council, the supplier council, was informed, or the matter was escalated to the council in the beginning of June, and we were briefed of the occurrences of the matter and the sessions that were held with the portfolio committee, and what transpired with the IFTs as well. And we were also briefed that an internal committee was put in place within OpenServ to deal with the IFTs, and it was not successful. So I then said, okay, let's first have the session with each of them. And if we are not understanding of each of the issues that they're raising, then it's better to have an independent auditor to look into the matter. So meetings were arranged with the four IFTs, which took place between the 5th and the 19th of July. And the names of the attendees are also indicated on the slide. And we had individual sessions with them. We first asked them to submit to us which transactions are they disputing, and so we can evaluate each of them and see which one has merit in accordance with the contract as well between OpenServ and the IFTs. Let me say, we were not able to reach a conclusion as a council from their presentation, because it was more a talk over the issues and the reason why they are aggrieved, but not taking us through the details so we can actually understand the grouping of the transactions and make a decisions on which are due for payment. We then, at the individual sessions, I indicated to them that I proposed that we appoint an independent auditor to have sessions with them and look at each transaction and see the compliance to contract as well as the time frame within which the transaction took place. Three of the IFTs agreed, but Folo Electrical said he does not agree. Mr. Stembele Folo said he doesn't agree to partaking to the auditor's process as an independent body, and he'd rather handle his matter separately and escalate again to Parliament. So we proceeded with the three, being Sudani, Mzansi Broadband, and Tobela Communications. Just to take you through again for the reasons for the dispute. So in 2017, contracts were introduced whereby IFTs were entering services to Telkom, including other companies as well, service providers. And we noticed that there was a requirement to improve on technicians' behavior in order to drive organizational behavior, as well as improve on the workmanship of technicians. We would find that a technician works on a job today, and in 2 days they have to go back again, and would pay each time the technician goes out. So in order to improve not only the workmanship or of the external technicians, but also internal technicians as well, we also introduced things like photo quality, where the technician would have to take a picture of after doing the work and loading it online, so the ops managers could also review those as well. Just other means that we put in place internally to monitor that. So the amendments of the contract in 2017 included the first failure rate, non-payable on repeat, as well as service level agreement penalties, which includes NPS, which is the Net Promoter Score. The aggrieved IFT companies were not pleased with the new business rules introduced by the new contracts in 2017, and which were that some of the provisions were that there should be no repeat within 30 days of the work being done. So in 2020, we heard their cry, and in 2020, the contracts were amended such that the repeat failure rate is no longer 30 days, but 14 days. And the first failure rate was reduced from 30 days to 7 days as at the 1st of December in response to the IFT's cry. In 2021, further amendments were done to the contract where the repeat failure rate was reduced from 14 to 7 days, and that was effective from the 1st of February. Further consultations were taking place with the IFTs from the 1st of September 2017 to 30 September, just to indicate the period that we've been trying to address reduction of the applicable days. So as indicated in the beginning, that the Supplier Compliance Management Council was then tasked to look into the matter, and that was the process. This slide is highlighting the process that we agreed upon with the IFTs in terms of engaging the auditors once we couldn't fully comprehend what they were presenting to the council, or maybe also it was something that we couldn't do in the hour that was allocated, and it required something that requires a number of days to look at. And as the chairperson, I felt that putting in, together a task team that also has telecom people in it on work would rather have independent auditors looking into this matter. And the proposed way forward then was agreed to with the IFTs, and the auditors were appointed. This is just to highlight the process that is outlined on the previous slide, where the auditor was appointed, and we provided them with the scope, which I will share on the next slide. And thereafter, we were to receive the auditor report and then share it with the IFTs. I must apologize upfront because the final report was only received yesterday after 7, and I had Mpo and another lady finalize the slides for today. Hence, the honorable members received the slide late last night. But I just want to put it forward that that is because we were waiting for the auditor's report. But we made sure we complied with the requirement to submit yesterday, and the same audit report that was shared with the honorable portfolio members was also shared with the IFTs in the evening once we concluded the slides. The scope of the appointed auditors, which is the name of the company is MMQS Mays Consultancy, is outlined on this slide, where they were to interrogate the payment files provided by the IFT companies, investigate the validity of the non-payable repeats, unnecessary cable handovers, first failure rate, fine orders on payment file received from IFTs, engage both IFTs and OpenServe representatives to investigate validity of the claims from both parties, and provide audit outcome and recommendations. This slide outlines the audit records that the auditors had to look at from each of the three IFTs. Remember, the fourth one said they are not going to follow the auditor's route, so hence we only did with three IFTs. Just to explain, from Tobela there, the first one, the auditors had to look at 7,609 records, as outlined at the top, 5,000 repeats, multi-DCC 26, just to explain, DCC 26 is whereby an order is deemed as, an installation order is deemed as completely completed. And non-payable BIQ items such as scouting and unidentified records were 176. Then we had Mzansi with 9,042 records, same categories as Tobela and Sudani with 1,007 records. I'll just move over to the next slide. Okay, now before I do that, the auditors, let me see if it's on the, oh no, the, what I want to mention is on the next slide. So then the outcome of the audit is outlined on this slide, where the auditors indicated that of the 5,777, 702 non-payable repeats from Tobela, zero of them were outside the 30-day SLA period. Thus, non-payable repeats should not be considered for payment. And also the 958 audited records could not ascertain any fault that are brought on scouting dispatch and therefore did not qualify for any payment. And then the first failure rate that were audited of the 213 the auditors found as payable by OpenServe. And I must indicate that we have a commitment that whatever is due to the IFTs will be paid by the end of the month. So we'll ensure that the 13 is processed. And Mzansi Broadband, of the 828 records, no non-payable orders were found to be outstanding outside the 30-day SLA period and therefore not payable. The 29 audited records for unnecessary handovers, they could not ascertain which faults could have fell under the bulk faults resulting from scouting. So therefore that one as well, you know, there is no open service exempted form reimbursement. And the five audited records overall first failure rate fines, zero fines were found outstanding within the 30-day time frame as well from Mzansi. And for Sudan, 879 non-payable repeat audited, zero were found payable as they were in compliance with the provisions as well. And unnecessary handover 69 from Sudan, also they could not ascertain which faults could have fell under the bulk faults resulting in scouting and exempting OpenServe from payment for those. And 14 audited records for first failure rate, zero also were found to be outside the 30-day SLA period and therefore not considerable for payment. So these are the outcomes of the audit report. I'm just providing a summary, but the detailed audit report was also made available when we submitted the slides for today's meeting. This is basically just providing definition of what is indicated as repeat fault, and OpenServe is as per contract, it's not supposed to pay for a repeat fault within 30 days, but the 30 days was amended to 14 and then 7. And multiple DC26 means that if you go and work in an order and it doesn't result with the customer actually being connected, it is not a concluded order. If the next SP or IFT goes and concludes that work and it's a successful connection, then that IFT will be paid as that would be the one that concluded the order. As you cannot pay for twice for one installation. The installation has to be successful. That's what it means by multiple DCC26. You cannot connect the same order twice. You have to successfully connect the order the first time. But anyway, we did not want to, the multiple DCC and the non-payables were not part of the scope, but we didn't want to manipulate the files and be seen as interfering with the information being provided to the auditors. So we left the files as they were and submitted to the auditors so, you know, they can make sense of everything that is submitted to them. Okay. So in conclusion, based on the recommendations from the external independent auditors, OpenServe has been in compliance with the contract signed with the IFTs. I'm not sure whether I should stop as I see a hand from Honorable Hendro Kruger.
No, please finish your presentation. I will note the Honorable Kruger. So just wrap up.
Thank you.
Ms. Moore.
Thank you. This is the last slide anyway. And the audit report, like I indicated, has been made available, unfortunately, only last night as we received it at that time. And the requirement was for OpenServe to meet with the IFTs and find a resolution before this meeting. We only received the report yesterday, like I said, so we did not have the chance to have a meeting with them, but we will post this meeting, take them through the audit report, and if they have any questions, maybe if we have to include the auditors again, that can be arranged. And we will also ensure that the 13 that transactions that we have been indicated as transactions due to Tobela are paid for before the end of the month. I will specifically make sure and drive that process. And I would also like to indicate OpenServe and Telkom's commitment to continue doing business with the IFTs and continue issuing work to them as per their capacity and amount of technicians that they have and according to the skill set that they have. So I would just like to indicate that commitment from our CEO in terms of wanting to make sure that we maintain a good relationship with the IFTs and grow them as the intention of the Telkom was to do that. Thank you, Honorable Chair. This is the end of my presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Mulroy. Thank you for the presentation. I see Honorable Kruger's hand. I will give him an opportunity, but I also want to hear from the IFT. So, Honorable Kruger, I hope it's not a question because I'd want to actually give everybody present and then our discussion. So, but I'll give you, Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Chair. Now, it's okay. I will wait until the IFTs do their presentations. No problem.
Thank you. Yeah, so members, let's just capture all our questions because I also want to give the IFT the right of reply. So I want to ask, Senator Temba and Evelyn, or the representatives of the IFT to just put their mic on and you are allowed to give a response to this presentation.
Good morning, Chair. Can I come in? I just want to ask a question.
Who's this?
My name is Tembel from Follow Electrical.
Are you one of the ISTs?
That's correct, Chair.
Yes, you are granted permission. Please continue and welcome September and to all the ISTs, welcome. You have the floor.
Thank you, sir. Chair, before I give my version or my report on what transpired in our meeting with Telkom, I just want to find out from Ms. Ambenyan whether I heard her mentioning that the independent auditors were housed, they were part and parcel of Telkom. She said that earlier on, and then I heard her again saying that these are external, you know, auditors. I just want to find out which ones, which are they, part and parcel of Telkom, or are they external auditors? And then the next question would be that the process of appointing these auditors, how was it? Was it an open tender, or were they just picked, hand-picked? I just want to answer on those two questions.
Okay, so I will ask OpenServe to note those questions because I also want to give the members opportunity to ask similar questions. So I need you now, Mr. Tolo, just to give your response.
Okay.
And engage with the presentation. We will have questions of clarity afterwards, but please note those two questions. So the question is it an internal or external audit firm or service provider, and how were they procured? So those are the two questions I will add what would the cost be for those. So we'll add that, but please proceed with your presentation or your response.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, my response will be very short. As I attended a meeting with the council, when we started the meeting, I sensed, based on the questions that I was getting from them, that I got a sense that I don't think they were in that meeting to put a resolution to the matter. I did mention that to them. That brought about a bit of a frustration on my side, because the reason for the frustration was that when Telkom requested Parliament to resolve this matter internally, I thought we were going to engage on the matters internally, as us being service providers to Telkom for many years, and then Telkom being the people that know what they are doing in terms of the work that we've been doing for them. So I found a bit to be frustrated that, you know, we are being asked the questions that we have been asked for the last 5 years. It is to be remembered that this dispute started in 2017 when the SLA was first, you know, installed. And I just want to mention that the SLA was never accepted by any of the contractors. It is just that some of the contractors, they found the process tiring. It would be tiring if a process is going to take 6 years and still not concluded. So I understand those companies that withdrew from the process. It is tiring for all of us. It is consuming in terms of health-wise. As to whether or not these jobs are payable or not, it depends where you're sitting. Maybe my another question, additional question to her would be whether she has ever done a job or work for any client or employer where she was told that she was not going to get paid for that work done. Our contention here, Chair, has always been that we Telkom asked us to procure resources in terms of vehicles and tools, and then we had to train employees and make those available to Telkom. That was at high cost. Now, when we started working at Telkom, it is to be remembered also that I'm a former Telkom employee in terms of being a technician. So I was also a specialist, so I understood Telkom's network very well. And I engaged immediately when we worked on this project, as early as 2016, when I figured out that the network infrastructure was in a bad state, I started engaging Telkom management in writing and in meetings. The issues that I highlighted then was the fact that the infrastructure was so bad that the services that we are selling to customers are not going to be successful. What do I mean by that? As we are sitting here, we are using internet access. If the line that we're using to connect is bad, and you find that your line will be buffering, and then you will keep losing, you know, the connectivity to the meeting. So that's what I picked up in the meeting. And at the time that many of our customers would have adopted programs like Netflix and Showmax, and now these are live streaming videos, and they were causing so many of these faults to fail repeatedly, because when customers are starting to watch the videos and movies, then when they see buffering, they see a fault. So they will report the fault again, and then we will go back to that customer. So we kept going back to those customers, you know, sometimes three times within a month, sometimes four times. But because that particular line kept failing, that line would be declared. When the SLA was adopted, that line would be declared non-payable. So that's where the dispute started, because we didn't have a responsibility. What causes a line to fail repeatedly? It is because the Telkom infrastructure has got so many joints between the exchange and the customer's premises. There's so many joints, and these joints are many times corroded because they are underground. And we as service providers do not have access to that infrastructure. We are prohibited from working there. So even if we when we do tests, we realize that there is a problem with this line in terms of quality. And then we do what we can on the outside network that we've got access to. We can't do, you know, go into the manuals, you know, because only the Telkom joiners can go in there. Maybe that will answer also another, you know, set of jobs where they say unnecessary cable failure or unnecessary cable repeat. Those drops happen when a jointer has been dispatched, and obviously the jointers, you know, we found that they had some form of, I don't know how to call it, but what they would do when they closing those faults where we send them to cables, because we tried everything, no spares, then they would say it was an unnecessary, report. I'm just not, you know, I'm trying to remember now the exact wording that they used. And there was a bulk of those jobs. And then it should be noted that in so many of these instances, we sat in those FTCs and DPs trying to get these customers fixed. It would take us a day, sometimes 2 days. You know, our vehicles are there, our employees are there. We are responsible for paying rent for some of the vehicles that we didn't buy. We have to pay these technicians, you know, salaries. So for me, if a technician has been dispatched and has fixed, now, okay, maybe let me just come to these ones that we refer to as non-payables. The non-payables, because they failed within the 30-day period that they put, which we've been saying that was an unfair, you know. The jobs, they keep failing because of the telecom infrastructure that is old. And that Telkom told us as early as 2016 and 17 that they were not going to reinvest any money into the infrastructure because it was old, but they wanted to keep using the infrastructure. So I think it has been unfair that even today that people still feel that we shouldn't be paid for the work that we did. We completed and we tested, and Telkom gave us a ref for those completions to say that it is passing now, but it is going to fail because that line is not a good quality to run things like, you know, a video streaming and stuff like that. That is why they kept failing. And we've been saying this thing for many years, and unfortunately nobody sees it. I just want to check, Chairperson, if I'm still audible. I hear there's too much quietness.
Yeah, no, I can still hear you. I'm taking notes, but okay. I think you need to just wrap up.
Okay, thank you very much.
What is it that you want us to do way forward? Can you focus on that?
Okay.
Clearly, there's a dispute in terms of what work has been done. There's a contractual dispute. So we want to get to the bottom of
the bottom is, Chairperson, what we've been crying out for is that as small businesses, because the bulk of the work that we're doing for Telkom is false. So now a bulk of this work that we were doing that we're not getting paid for. So our businesses were bleeding. So we were losing money and we felt that was unfair. We want to get paid for the work that we did. Those jobs that we completed and they were tested and we had the refs for, those jobs should be paid. You know, the reason for me for pulling out of the meeting that we had for Telkom, where they said they wanted to introduce an auditor. My objection was that Telkom currently has got people employed to do this work of assessing and analyzing a completed job. Whether it comes back as a non-payable or a payable, the contract reps and senior contract reps, which are ops managers, they are doing that job every day as we speak. You know, when the completion sheets come out, they come up with two columns at the beginning. The one is payable jobs, the one is non-payable jobs. And these jobs are being converted almost. We get completions every 15 days of the month, mid-month and end of the month. So a CR, simple thing that they do is they look at this job by assessing whether there was a test done, because the reason it comes back as non-payables, there are so many things. Sometimes it is because the customer has not connected the equipment at the end, the router, because that customer is not a Telkom customer. It's either a Vox customer or an MWeb customer. So therefore the router is not connected. That's why it comes back as non-payable. So once we've explained these things, they understood, and then these jobs are being converted. So I said, what we are requesting for is not unique. I expected Telkom employees to be dealing with this issue because an outside company will not understand Telkom's processes. I don't think auditors will understand all these teething issues as far as Telkom equipment, Telkom completion sheets, Telkom completion processes, Telkom testing processes, and also the fact that the infrastructure is in a bad state. I don't think this group of auditors were given an opportunity to go on site and see the infrastructure that is out there. So that's what my dispute is. I didn't see an outsider being able to come up with a better conclusion, you know, for this matter. I think Telkom, this decision can only be made within Telkom. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm going to allow, is there any other, Evelyn? I see your hand. Is that Evelyn from the IFT company?
Morning all. I'm Evelyn Smith from Sudan Project and Services. I'm one of the IFTs. With reference to the presentation that was delivered today, Telkom did not touch the merits of the fault, but rather the days. And what is in question is the non-payables, the unfairness of the non-payables. The job is done. It was tested by Telkom system. The test reference came from Telkom. The past reference came from Telkom, but they don't, the debate is not that the job is not done. There's nothing wrong with the job. But we are questioning the fact that Telkom is not paying us for things beyond our control, like acts of God, theft, and vandalism. That's the issue. And even the auditors, what we discussed with the auditors in the meeting was not discussed here today, and it was the unfairness of the falls, of the non-payables. And like Titimele said, the meeting with the council was not to resolve the issue here, but rather, we were rather asked, because I told them that I signed this the service level agreement under duress. And Mrs. Moretti repeatedly told me, why didn't I walk away? I told her I couldn't walk away because I invested money. I'm an SMME and I invested money in this project. It's not that easy. And she also questioned my management skills. And I'm upset for the fact also that Telkom sent me the report last night, 20 past 11. And they said they're going to phone me this morning to schedule a meeting, which never happened. Telkom only involved us in two occasions. They passed the meeting with the council and with the auditors. And we never heard from them again. It is nearly 2 months and this matter is still not resolved. We're back where we started. There's no progress. And I would like us to resolve this matter today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Evelyn. Is there any other service providers, IFTs there that want to still raise their voice or their concerns? Okay, I don't see any hands. Officials, you will assist. If not, I see, acknowledge Edward. Edward, before I give you an opportunity to talk, just are you an IFT? Please unmute yourself, Edward. Mutlango, yes. Please proceed.
Good morning to everyone. Yes, I'm here. Good morning to everyone.
I can hear you.
Yes, I just want to add on what other IFTs have said.
Please proceed.
In many meetings with the Telkom trying to resolve, in many meetings that we had with Telkom trying to resolve this issue, it was confirmed from Telkom that they are spending 620 rand for them to reconnect the line of the customer if the line goes down. So when Telkom line goes down, they send us as IFTs. That means us as IFTs, we are spending money from our pockets, knowing that Telkom is going to pay us back for restoring the line. So meaning we are taking out the 620 rand that Telkom is supposed to have been paid from our pocket and restore Telkom line. after restoring Telkom line, after paying the 720 rents for restoring the line, and we are told that we cannot be paid. If you look at the number of non-payables,
Mr. Muslal Longa, you are breaking up. I didn't hear your last thought.
My company, Tobela.
Is it me, or I just couldn't heard Edwin finish his submission?
No, Chair, I can't hear him either. It's not you.
Neither can I, Chairperson. I think his line is the problem. I think we should proceed, maybe get in writing what he wants to say.
Okay. Edwin, your line is quite bad, and we're trying to listen to you. So I think try to just summarize or type in the chat group, but let's give you another chance, Edwin, because we want to hear you. Edwin, are you there? I think we got the gist of Edwin. It's 6:20 to reconnect, and they had to pay out of their pocket to restore the line. I think we've got the gist of it. Members, I want to now hand over to members to engage with the presentation from OpenServe, and also to hear from the service providers. I recognize Honorable Tlomelang as the first speaker. Let me just see the list.
Yeah, I think I was think my hand was up before.
Okay, let me do like that. Yeah. Let's give Honorable Kruger, Honorable Tlomelang, and then Honorable Dumisani in that order.
And me last.
And then April last. I see there's a hand of IFT there, but IFTs, I want to wrap up now, so I want to give members also an opportunity. Can you just hold? I think... unless there's something urgent. Who's the IFT's hand that is up?
Honorable?
Yes.
Me. Yeah, they excluded one of the IFTs and he sent them numerous emails, but they ignored his email.
Okay, that's Mr. Edwin.
No, it's Jerome Williams from
JavaScript.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll record it as such. I think now both Telkom, OpenServe, IST companies, now is the chance for my members to engage with the presentation. So can I ask you to lower your hands, because you will be afforded an opportunity. I will now recognize the following in this order. It will be Honorable Kruger, then Honorable Tlomelang, and then Dumisani. In that order, please proceed, members, and then April at the end. Kruger, over to you. Honorable Kruger.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And Chair, you will know I'm very passionate about big business bullying small business. And I'm sorry that I can't put on my camera, because the network is not 100% where I stay at the moment. I just want to thank OpenServe for the presentation. But we can see this is a case of big business bullying small business. You know, Telkom and OpenServe spend a lot of money getting auditors to do the audit according to their to their liking. The poor small businesses can't even afford a lawyer to go over the audit. And if you look at the repeat faults and the definition of that, I mean, they haven't given us a definition of repeat faults. And I think one of the IFTs mentioned it. They don't talk about acts of God and theft and vandalization and so on. So, and the problem here, Chairperson, is when Telkom signed this job off, with from their side, then according to me, and I'm not a technical person, according to me the job is done. So if there is then a comeback after Telkom gave the reference that the job was done satisfactorily and something happened afterwards, like one of the IFT said, the client didn't put on his modem, or as mentioned, acts of God or whatever went wrong, then it's a different job because the previous job was signed off. I mean, you can't go to hospital to have an operation in your arm and the doctors, when opening your arm, find there's something extra wrong and they fix it, and now you don't want to pay the doctor because you didn't go to the hospital to sort out that problem, So it seems like Open Service not playing the game. It seems like they play silly games with Parliament, giving us the report at 11 o'clock last night or whenever we received it. I'm very worried here that we don't get the full story from OpenServ. And there's a lot of, if you look at the report from the auditors, I mean, if you must add rand to that, it's a lot of money. And small businesses can't afford this. I mean, they did the job. The vehicles went out. They fixed it. And now OpenServ just fold their hands because they got an unfair contract. I mean, they prove that the contract is unfair by reducing the days from 30 days to 40 days to 7 days. I mean, why did they reduce that days? If they thought the 30 days is a fair base to work on, I mean, why change it to 14 and then to 7? Surely they realize that their contract is not fair. And if you fight it in a court, most probably the SMMEs will win. But the problem is SMMEs don't have the money to afford lawyers to fight their case. And that's why we as a SMME committee in Parliament must come up with the small businesses and sort out, like one of the IFT said today, we must sort it out today. They can't afford the luxury for another two months, because that's another tactic that big business use, is they just time, and small businesses can't afford time. That is my input. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Honourable Kruger. Honourable Flamilang.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to colleagues. I hope I'm audible, Chair, because we don't have electricity here. But let me start by joining Honorable Kruger, my colleague, by saying the issue of the big businesses bullying small businesses, it's like we still have a long way to go. I think it arises each and every time and on daily basis. So I think we need to do something as a portfolio committee, because We make resolutions, we take decisions, but we're still experiencing problem where we see small businesses are dying on. I hope I pose a
on the votes of Elam. Yeah, your line is very bad.
Area on that we don't have electricity in my area. But my question simply is, my question was, what was the cost of the external yes,
okay. Okay, thanks.
It's load shedding in my area.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I think we got the gist, Honorable Flomelang. Okay, I think let's leave it there, Honorable Flomelang. I think we've got the gist of the question. It relates to the cost of the external provider. I'm going to ask you now.
And what was the reason?
Okay. I think, Honorable Flomelang, we've got the gist of your question. I'm going to hand over to Honorable Mtanjani, who has the next opportunity. The stage is yours, Tumisani.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone, the colleagues, and our IFTs, as well as Telkom. Sorry. My voice, I think, is not good. I have a flu, yeah, but I will try, Chairperson. And also, there's a load shedding. I wonder if I'm audible that side. But nevertheless, Chairperson, okay, thank you. I see a sign. It shows that I'm audible. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think we all agree. As a portfolio committee, that indeed this is just a pure act of bullying. Telkom is bullying our small businesses. There is no way you can call it the other way around. Whatever they presented to us here doesn't convince us as a committee. What convinced us is that they are bullying our small businesses, and we cannot allow it as a portfolio committee to happen. There are a lot of things said here by our IFTs, and it makes a lot of sense that you can't do a job for someone and then the person doesn't want to pay you, especially even after the person has approved that indeed you did the job, because that is what we are hearing here. They did the job. The very same Telkom has signed to confirm that indeed you've done the job, but when it comes to paying them back, they don't want to pay them. That is bullying. They are bullying them. Now, Chairperson, I think as a committee, we should be failing the people of South Africa and also failing our small businesses. In other words, we should be putting a hand in their failure to proceed, to prosper. So if we don't, as a committee, take action against Telkom, if you understand and agree with me, Chairperson, is that Telkom is a state-owned company. We understand there's some shares, PIC and all those things. But then it's a state-owned company, this company. So we must not allow this, our government, to bully our, because in other words, the same government is bullying our people. So we must not allow that, Chairperson, as a committee, because remember, we are representing our South African people and more especially small businesses. So we can't allow this to happen while under our watch. So I think as a committee, we must take a resolution, as we always do on matters such as this. We must take a resolution as to what to do next to make sure that Telkom is accountable to pay these poor people. How do you expect a person to pay to do a job, to pop out money on his or her pocket and pay for the job, which you in a later on you don't want to pay back? It doesn't happen that way. They must be paid. They have a proof. I believe they have a proper, whatever that they are saying to this committee makes a lot of sense, Chairperson. And then Telkom is also here. Let them say no, let them disagree if it's not true. But by the look of things, it's true. They're just bullying them. And I can tell you, my Honorable Chairperson, there are many, this is a drop in the ocean. There are many, many more other SMMC that are suffering under the same bullying tactics with other companies. Many more other state-owned companies that are doing the same thing, such as Transnet and stuff like that. If maybe we need to have a program of calling all the state-owned companies to come here into this committee to account and tell us what is their relationship with the small businesses, and also invite the small businesses to also come and hear the side of their story as well, because it's good to hear the both side of the story. Now we have heard both side of the story. Telkom is here, the IFTs are here, and then the answer is that the Telkom is pulling these poor people. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I mean, yeah, we agree, Chairperson, as a committee, all of us, that this is a bullying. They must pay them their money. We must take steps as a committee to make sure that Telkom pays these people their money, these poor people their money. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mtendjani. I now recognize the Honorable Aitong.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to welcome the presentation that was made by OpenServe, the presentations or the notes that was brought by my honorable colleagues, members of parliament, noting also in the presentation there is reference made to some of the people who has decided to not be part of the collective of IFTs who is presenting before parliament today. It gives me some chills when I think about some that would have not been, would have decided to not continue to participate in the dispute that has been brought, and one would have wanted to at some point look at the books of Telkom to see what kind of work or compensation these ones have received in order for them to withdraw from the process. I also hear in the end of the presentation that was made by Telkom saying that, saying it but not saying it, saying we want to continue to have a relationship with you, almost sounding as if you want to continue to work here, you must drop this wanting things being done the right way. I think the first mistake that IFTs have made was to sign with Telkom with regards to the jobs that must be redone. One made the example, I think it's Honorable Kruger, saying you go to the doctor and they open your arm, and when the arm is open, they find another fault. It is like going to the doctor and going to the doctor again for the same arm. One must also then start to try and find out and be fair when we talk about what happens here. If the doctor fixes your arm and you agree that the arm is better, but the arm then again in 30 days, there's a problem, you're going to have to pay the doctor again. If it's the same arm with the same problem. Now, the contract that they have signed is saying that if the same thing happens in 30 days, we are not paying you again. That's the mistake that that the IFTs have made. And the IFTs should really not have gone so low or be so desperate for work, but work is scarce. And we don't expect from our state-owned companies to be bullies and crooks like they have shown to be now. I want to, on a very serious note, look at the disrespect that we have received in terms of getting this report only last night. I think 3 days before the time we're supposed to be given the report before it enters Parliament, so that we can scrutinize the report and go into it and ask the relevant questions and be informed. It is for me very, very tricky, or it leaves a sour taste in my mouth that we just received this report last night. Is there something to hide in the report? Is there the report deliberately sent this time of the night? Is it part of the strategy and tactics that is being used to continue to leave these vulnerable small businesses to bleed to death, so that they may come to a point where they've got no one or nothing else to do, or to reach, lose their houses, lose their cars, lose their families, some lose their lives because of the stress that they are being put through. I would like to concur with what the majority of the meeting has said already, and that is that all these IFTs must be paid. They must be paid for the work that they have done. You don't have to tell them that there's a green carrot, there's a carrot in front of you, you'll get work again. They will get work again. It is not in the ambit of individuals to decide whether they will get work or not. They will get work because I take the assumption that they are qualified. That's why they are there in the first place. And they will not be bullied further. So ours is very clear, Chairperson, that the continuation of pressure that has been placed, and even also the last person who has been excluded, I don't know if you said Van Wyk or what. I want to be to hear, what is the name of the person?
I didn't get his surname, but it's Jerome something.
Yeah, Jerome. Jerome must be included in this process, because he worked for the same entity. There's no reason why they can cut Jerome out of the conversation here. He should have actually been in this meeting and hear what they had to say, and we should have given him an opportunity to also speak about his experiences. You know, sometimes people get alienated because they are too strong to the point. They are on there, and they know their facts and they know their rights, and those kind of people sometimes bear the punishment of being excluded from these kind of things. So I would like to also propose to the meeting that people like Jerome must be brought back in, and then people must be paid. There's no reason that Telkom cannot pay people. That is mine for now, Chairperson. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable April. I see Honorable Kruger want a second bite before I hand over to get responses. Honorable Kruger.
Yes, thank you, Jay. It's just a comment, and it's a very serious comment. I tabled this petition, and I can tell, and I want to note this, and it will be on the Hansard, and I want to make it very official. And I will tell OpenServe that I won't lie down with whatever they come. I will fight this until the IFTs and small businesses get their fair share. I just want to make that official, and I want to put it on the table. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger and Honorable Members. Before I give Telkom and OpenServe an opportunity to respond, let me also put my voice in as the acting chair for the session. I want to start by saying that this is a sitting of the Parliament of South Africa. And when we sit, we expect that we honor and respect the quorum of the House. This is now almost our third or fourth session with this matter. And I, as a chair, feel that this committee is being disrespected by representing those constituencies must communicate that Mr. Siyabonga Mahlangu, the CEO of OpenServe, all of them, we wanted them to account, because that's what accounting is. We have a telecom board, we have a telecom management structure. They are being paid exorbitant amounts of salary to project manage or to lead and to manage our state-owned enterprise. So first of all, we find it distasteful and disrespectful that they can't honor this. So I want our legal team and our officials, Sibusiso and Gumede and King, to just advise us how we take this thing forward. So that's the first point I want to make. The second point I want to make is that we are still at where we started the process. And again, I feel strong words, I don't want to use it, but I feel again disrespected, because what we're getting from OpenServe and from Telkom and from the service, external service provider, is just the same statement that they've given us at the beginning. And so you're either undermining our intelligence, our capabilities, or you are disrespectful to this office. We asked you to try to resolve the matter, problem solve. So we are paying senior executives exorbitant amounts of money. You have staff throughout the organization to problem solve and to deal with this matter. What you then do, you still outsource this matter. You get a external audit person or company. Again, there was a question around how was the open process around the procurement? What was the cost of this this exercise? This exercise for us is futile and wasteful, because it didn't come up with a resolution. It didn't engage in a meaningful and respectful way to the service providers. It provided the same result to us. So it's almost like a broken telephone. And our people are frustrated by a lack of responsiveness to governance. So I think we, as all of the parties in this portfolio, is unanimous that Telkom and OpenServe have failed our small businesses. Imagine we get a decision through that we won't pay the group executive and we won't pay the senior leaders of OpenServe and Telkom for 2 or 3 months. We don't pay you your exorbitant salary. We say to you, part of the consequence management here is that you have failed to do your fiduciary responsibility. You failed to problem solve. You failed to deal with a simple issue. We consider this as a simple issue. There's a contractual dispute. There is a dispute around payment. So yes, you might have a legal upper hand, but what you're doing is irreprehensible in terms of ethics, morality, and also where we want to take our people with. We are advocates and champions of the poor and the marginalized and the downtrodden. So we also have a big culture in our society where the big, the voiceless, the rich, the privilege, they don't care about those that have nothing. So this is a David and Goliath story again. We asked you, we gave you a mandate. Go listen and provide a solution to this problem. I phoned Mr. Dr. Mahlangu myself. I asked, please don't outsource your accountability and responsibility. You can get service providers, but you are, as Telkom, responsible, accountable for this matter. Now it's very clear. You've continuously undermined this House of Parliament, this organ, people's representation. I, as a chair, am very frustrated, and I don't want a broken telephone or broken stories anymore. We need to now submit this report to Parliament. We table it to Parliament, and we ask Parliament to exercise whatever oversight or consequences we can get. But this matter, Honorable Kruger, is not an individual crusade. Let's take it up as a collective. Let's commit here that we would want to get all of those executives to come here and account for this failure of accountability. Now, I don't understand you are prepared to pay exorbitant amounts of salaries for outsourcing and you spend inordinate time on effort. You waste a whole portfolio committee's time and you just effort time and money and resources, but you can't pay small people small money. You are prepared to be insubordinate and you use legalese, you use jargon, you use audit, you use all of these words, but everybody, it's plain for all of us to see that you're acting irresponsibly, you're acting like a bully, you want to coerce, you get people to sign under duress, you create divide and rule amongst the service providers, you act in a way that is not exemplary as a corporate citizen. In fact, this is testament to why we must privatize Telkom. My organization, we feel that state-owned enterprises must be in the interest of public good. It mustn't be for profit. But your actions, your capabilities, your what you're doing now, it lends credibility to your inability to care for our people, to use state-owned resources for public good. So you make the case for corporatization and privatization of Telkom. Because clearly, if we had competent, capable managers from the private sector, this matter would have been resolved. You wouldn't come here and say long stories, but you actually waste our time. So I'm not sure how to take this thing forward. And I will take legal advice, and I will get our legal advisory from Parliament to advise us. But I, with all our members, all the multi-party stakeholders here, want to register our strong unhappiness with Telkom and with OpenServe. And we want you to experience that. We are not going to let this thing down. We're going to report to the speaker, and we want further action. Because you see, for me, if you do this in front of us with small businesses, we can just imagine how other state-owned, and I agree with Honorable Mtenjani, we must actually call all the state-owned enterprises and all their small development, because they procure billions and billions of rand. And there's a big challenge of non-payment, late payment, bullying. Subcontractors do all the work, but they are getting the brunt of this. So members, I want to keep the decorum of this meeting, but I think I'm registering our collective disgust at Telkom, and we reserve our rights to follow this thing to the letter. So I'm going to give Telkom, the most senior person of Telkom, an opportunity to just respond shortly. Please don't repeat yourself and try to make excuses. I note, Honorable Mtenjani, I will give you an opportunity. Honorable Mtenjani, before Telkom.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is very short. Thank you also to you as a Chairperson for all of what you just said. You said it a mouthful. I hope they've heard. But my point I wanted to raise here, Chairperson, is for the honorable member to say he himself, as a person, you want to fight here, this and that. We are fighting as a committee here, Chairperson. We are here as a committee of parliament, all collectively fighting for one purpose only, to give a service delivery to the people of South Africa, all of us. So it's not necessarily an individual thing, because if it was an individual thing, he was supposed to go in his constituency to go and sort it out on the other side, that was fine. But once the matter comes to the committee, it belongs to the committee, it belongs to the Parliament of South Africa. So it's a collective work that we are doing here. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable members, I think we've made the point. We also don't want to create divisions amongst ourselves. I think there's a collective sense of anger and disgust. And so we've corrected Honorable Kruger. I also know he's very passionate, and thank you, Honorable Kruger, for bringing this issue to our table. It is now the Portfolio Committee of Small Business Development, a broad commitment. Not one party have not disagreed with us. So I also want us to be united on this matter. We can disagree on many things, but on this matter, I think there's unanimity, and our collective sense of unhappiness is expressed. So I think let's leave it there. I'm going to not allow everybody who is Telkom here. I'm not going to allow service providers or auditors to speak. Mr. Diani, are you Telkom?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay, you have the last say on this matter.
Thank you, Chairperson. From our side, we must, profusely apologize for coming with not a high-level delegation, as you mentioned, and we wanted to bring one. And from our side, the invitation, it was also for the 13th of September, when the date changed, Chair, we had to move gears. And then even with the, I won't go belabor the point of the auditors, because there was a very, I think, frustrating work that was done, that was underway. We received the first report, the last report came at the last time. We even tried to plead with the leadership or the secretariat of the committee, if we can move the meeting for next week, so that we can also brief the IFTs accordingly on the content of the report, as well as to give them another detailed report of what the recommendations are. But because we respect the committee, we just thought we can't again postpone. We can proceed with what we have at the moment. So as Telkom and OpenServe, we're gonna share with you what we have, this report, the detailed report that comes on top of the auditor's report, which is quite a forensic report, just provide a blow-by-blow account of what transpired. If I might say, Chair, also, I tried to make an intervention earlier on while there were first round of speakers. I wanted us to deal with a few rounds of speakers, so that you can do justice to each and every question that came before us. So the question they came is so many. I know that we want to allow a dialogue between us and the IFTs. So we respect the process that came about, but we wish that you can provide some good answers to some of the points that were mentioned by the members. Suffice to say that around even the issue of the repeat fault, the other document that is details also give a definition of what the repeat faults are, of all of the terminology that is provided in the. And then there was the issue whether I don't know if it's time, I can't go there, but 15 questions or so that came about from the IFTs. One, whether the report is internal, auditors are internal or external. I think it was an external process. We went for procurement process for this, and the guys are quite competent because they had to do some number crunching to come up with these numbers. So we wanted our next step, Chair, if you allow, we want to have this time to engage the IFTs on the context thereof, to agree on the granularities. For us, we do, of course, account, we treat all shareholders equally, Chair. So we need to, whatever payments must be done, ultimately, somebody must be account for them. It can't be a blanket solution. I'm not trying to reopen another case for argument on this, but we are trying our best to treat each and every IFT with respect. Hence, we are undergoing this process. The process of auditing, Chair, is very important for us to resolve the matter. If you can manage through us, we can come back to bite the CEO, which is the accounting officer. So on those general terms, I think I wanted to respond as such. There were a question that we asked by Ms. Evelyn, by Mr. Edwin, as well as on the repeated calls. Maybe if you can allow Mpho to make a last bite around those questions asked by Honorable April and then by Honorable Tenjana and the like. Just a few from each before we close, Chair. Thank you. Those are technical questions. Thank you.
Okay, I will allow Mpho, please answer the questions raised to you by both the IFDs and the members of parliament. I also want to ask the question, if you haven't been paid from 2015, 2017 till now as a senior executive, how would you feel? Can you also answer that as a personal question? Continue.
So maybe your last question, yes, it would be disturbing that you get paid. However, given the terms and the business rules that we set in the contractual clauses, our IFTs have been, we've taken them through, the clauses, and as explained even prior, we even had roadshows just to make sure and just to be clear and take understanding of what these changes mean and how they would impact the IFTs. And they placed understanding because between the contract signature and the execution, there was a period of 3 months that was open to those discussions and really tabled all the understanding and all the technical changes that will be faced on the new terms. So with that being said, the yes, and we did change with hearing the dispute and all of that to try to meet them halfway. And hence you can see that some of them have recused themselves because there were benefits, you know. They were very happy the changes and they are still ongoing. The students that have recused themselves are still with us because there is operational sustainability to get business.
Can I stop you, Mpo? I don't want you to do this. What you're doing now, it's wrong. I want you to respond. I don't want to give you an opportunity to create excuses. I want you to respond to this question specifically because clearly you are not listening to what we as members are saying to you, okay? And you are repeating yourself, and I don't want you to repeat yourself. So, can I ask you to be succinct and respond to the questions that the members have asked? Must I remind you of the questions that the members have asked?
The members have asked the questions on what are repeated. Am I correct in understanding that?
Yes, we want to know the process of procurement of the external service providers. They want to know what the cost for the service external service providers are. We want to know what was the outstanding amounts that you have to pay for these small businesses, and we want to know how are you dealing with a dispute at hand between the definition of job done versus not job done. So we want you to provide us a solution. And if you repeat yourself with the same stuff, I'm going to cut you. Okay? So respond to those four questions, please.
So by definition, a repeat will refer to any fault that was sent back to the field within the SLA period. Okay, for whatever reason, the last supplier or the telecom technician will have to repair, and the last repairer or last technician that was at the client's premises will then receive payment. So we want to provide our service to our clients, and we do not to be calling back. Now, we need to minimize the repeat because you want to get one call.
Okay, so just stop there. If the ISDs are saying that they have done their work from their side, but the problem is the infrastructure. It is the actual the underground, the wires, the cables. It's not their fault that the thing is not done. How do you respond to this?
Okay, so there's two differences, right? So you get a customer that will call you and say, my line is faulty. We send them out and we realize that it is a area disconnection. In that instance, we treat it as a bulk order. And we will send out our technician to correct. So if it's an infrastructure issue, let's say, and it would not necessarily just result in one client, may result in many other clients. We then dispatch our internal technicians to resolve in that area. And it would then close off the client that called and the other customers, they don't even have to call in. So there will be a bulk dispatch that is done. In an event where a customer now calls in today, and these are the examples that we have seen, that a customer will call in today, we dispatch the IFT, they go, they come back to say they fixed it. There is a test that is done to say, has this test been concluded and is the customer back on? And in an event where the customer is not back on, they need to go back to that. Now, if you want to say the customer should not have service in that,
point of order, Chairperson.
Okay, I'm going to give the point of order. Comrade, Honorable Njenjani.
No, it's Honorable April that is calling the order.
Chairperson, Honorable April.
The speaker is becoming increasingly unaudible. I don't know if the it's a mic that is somewhere else or what, but it sounds like the speaker is in a toilet.
Okay. Ms. Kugani, can I ask you just to project in the mic? And I also, we're entering technical matters, but the IFTs have said that according to them, the test reference and the pass reference have been an indicative of the job done. How do you respond to that?
Sorry, can you repeat that, please?
So the test reference and the pass reference that they have demonstrating the work done is done. Are you disputing that as a mechanism to sign off payment, or what is the trigger that will sign off payment?
And that's the exercise we did with the auditors, right? And what we have asked the IFT was that it is proof that it was not should have, and that they have to prove that they have executed that fault. Now, we are, the system will generate the day that the call was logged, and the day that the thing was dispatched, and the day that it was logged. Now, that is what is guiding us in terms of understanding what the resolution of that call logged is. Now, we've taken the, and that's why we did this audit, and we went into each and every line and each and every item that was presented. In fact, the auditors are coming back to say, given the rules and given the system and given the process that we have underway, it is saying that we have been compliant with our contract and our rules.
Chairperson.
Okay.
Chairperson.
You on, yeah, Honorable Dumisani.
Please, Chairperson, we hardly can hear what the speaker is saying here. We can't hear nothing.
Okay. So, Mpo, I think just answer the two questions straight up. What was the cost for the external independent auditor?
The cost was about $400,000.
How much?
$400,000.
Okay. Okay, the next question I want you to answer is, there is four service providers here. Can you give us a broad estimate of how much are they claiming to be owed by Telkom? Just a ballpark figure. If you don't know it, I can ask the IFTs, but can you tell me?
I will just have to look for it, sir. If you can give me a minute.
I'll give you a minute.
Okay, so the claim estimate is about 6,527,394 rand.
6,527. And is that with the combined value of the four IFTs or five IFTs? How many IFTs are this in total?
Those are the four that are present in this meeting, sir.
Four present in the meeting. All right. Okay. I want to leave it there. Let me check. Any I actually don't want to open this debate. I actually want to get advice from the portfolio committee, the researchers and advisors on the matter. Unless there's any new evidence or new information that we're going to share, I don't want people to repeat themselves. So I think we've exhausted the matter. Can I check with our portfolio committee members just how do you advise us, Mr. Gumede? How do we take this forward? I know there's an outstanding report we need to table to Parliament. Please advise us.
Thank you, Chairperson. Am I audible?
Yes, yes, you are. It's you and I can hear you.
Yes, Chair. Hey, you know, Chair, to say I'm disappointed would be an understatement. Chair, Telkom's approach seems to be punitive. I actually thought maybe the concept of the SOE, despite being exempted from PFMA, a notion of a developmental state will trump all other challenges between Telkom and IFTs. Unfortunately, it's not happening. Chair, there are three things that I would want to propose, maybe as a way forward. The third one, however, we will discuss it under the committee bill, Chairperson, because it relates to the recommendation or the resolution that we took during the fifth parliament as a portfolio committee, which has not been implemented. So let's discuss the third point under the committee bill. But Chair, the first two points that I would want to raise, Chairperson, we are dealing with the petition here, which was referred by the Speaker of Parliament to a portfolio committee for a resolution. Unfortunately, it's clear now that we are not winning with, you know, to get that type of a win-win resolution between IFTs and Telkom. For me, Chairperson, the next course of action I so advise would be, let us get the legal opinion from our legal unit to hear what they are saying in this matter, because as I indicated earlier on, Chairperson, this is a petition. If we do not get a resolution with regards to a petition, they must give us guidance legally. What should be the way forward? Do we leave it hanging or we find an alternative mechanism to deal with the matter? Number two, Chairperson, I propose that the committee give me a mandate to go ahead draft the report for adoption by the PC. Chairperson, it will be a very adverse report, I must say. That same report must be adopted by the portfolio committee and be referred to the House for discussion. I'm really not sure if Telkom wants to subject its good name to those kind of processes, because once it gets to the National Assembly for discussion, it's another matter. There won't be a turning back. So, you know, one of the things that perhaps Telkom really needs to do, Chairperson, would be the cost-benefit analysis of going that route vis-a-vis settling this matter with IFTs. Because in terms of the rents and cents, I mean, it's an SOE, Chairperson. I think me, Nanje, from where I'm sitting, they have a duty as well to nurture and develop SMMEs. So we shouldn't really be here in the first place. So those would be my suggestion, Chairperson, that we seek the legal opinion, number one. Number two, we are allowed to carry on, write the report for your adoption, and that same report to be referred to the House for a debate. I understand, Chair, that what Mr. Jani has said, there are still processes on their part to engage the IFTs. But, Chair, it's been how many months now dealing with the same issue? I mean, we are never going to get a conclusion if we don't develop this report and adopt it for the consideration of the House. So those would be my submissions, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gumede. Thank you for those wise counsel. Members, I think I'm going to open it up for you to adopt the recommendations of Mr. Gumede. So clearly, we will take legal opinion. That's the one recommendation we're calling on all of you. We will write in advance the report to Parliament for adoption. So those are the two broad, and we are very clear we won't want to leave it here. And Telkom, we want to give you a stern warning. We are collective in our resolve to find a solution for the small business. We don't want this example, or not, it's not going to be on our watch. So there's a collective resolve from this portfolio committee to ensure that at least we get what is due to them, what is fair, what is to our small business here. So members, I don't want to open the debate, but I am calling on you to support or second or amend or add on this recommendation as suggested by our...
Chair, I propose that we accept the proposal of the way forward by our content advisor. And yes, I propose that we do that.
Okay, there's a proposal. Can I get a seconder?
Seconded, Chairperson.
Absolutely seconded. Absolutely seconded.
Thank you, members. So, okay. So we have now a way forward on this matter. We want to thank all the relevant players. I think it's important that we continue this. We will write this report. We will get a legal opinion, and we will come back to both the IFTs and to Telkom. This thing will be presented into Parliament, and I'm sure all of us, all the political parties, will have strong views on this and will express it very clearly. So we want to ask Telkom and all its subsidiaries to be mindful of what the implications of this. We also want you to communicate to your executive our unhappiness, and you still have time to redeem yourself. Our message to the IFTs is for you to hang in there. We support you. We pledge our solidarity with you. And with that, we ask that we move to the next item, and we ask the other members, MPs and officials to just excuse or relieve yourselves from the platform, because we will deal with our other matters of the day. Thank you. Thank you, members. It's been a long session, but I think it was a good session for us as members, and I appreciate the unity and the unity of purpose that we brought out this matter. Honorable, Mr. Kuneni, we're going to ask you just to flag the agenda and then the next item. So colleagues, we've looked at deliberation recommendations and way forward. And now I think the next issue is the resolution of the legislation and the proposal of a committee bill. So members, this is a very exciting agenda item. I think we as this portfolio committee, we haven't really passed any legislation yet. Small business, legislative framework, as we all know, there's big gap in the legislative framework. And I think what we want to do is ask our content advisor and our officials to just take us through a process. But we're calling on all the parties to support the process, because we as the portfolio committee need to write enabling legislation for the Small Business or Business Act that will encompass all the big issues. We also note that we will work in a very collaborative way with the department and with the ministry, so that we don't be seen to be duplicating, but we want a quick process. We want a responsive process. We want an inclusive process. And we want a process that all small business should be happy with, and it could also begin to respond to some of the policy challenges that we've experienced. So I'm going to ask Mr. Gumede to take us through, but I also want to invite, I'm not preempting members, but I also want to invite members to enrich the process. I certainly am very excited that we will go through our own bill, and we want to see how we can do that. It will be a testing testing period, but also I think a rewarding period for all of us as political parties, because the legislation is a key thing that is missing in our framework. We note that there's different pieces of legislation. There's the red tape reduction. There's the township revitalization bills in our different respective provinces. There's the ombudsman. There's many pieces there, and so what we want to do is literally help get our advisors, get our content advisors to help us make sense and try to do it as quickly as possible, but at the same time as inclusive and as comprehensive as possible in service to the betterment of our community, our small business and micro business, informal traders that we serve. So that's a long introduction, but I'm handing over to members, Mr. Gumede, to just take us through the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, what I've done, I just drafted about five points. I've circulated to your inbox and also to WhatsApp group. Just the high level committee bill process of what is going to happen from now on, you know, starting from today, because the resolution to initiate a committee bill must be taken today. As to which one, a chairperson, then the committee will decide. But I've made a recommendation that the Business Act, the review of the Business Act, is becoming even more urgent, looking at what the developments in the townships and various provinces coming up with various legislations, largely which is a reflection of maybe a frustration at a provincial level, that maybe at a national level, there's nothing coming up. Chair, in terms of the process, in terms of the rules of the National Assembly, Rule 273 to 275, committees are allowed to initiate their own bills. During this process, the Parliament's Constitutional and Legal Services Office, or CLSO, features prominently in terms of assisting to draft the bill, meaning once we take a resolution today, the next course of action for me and my colleagues would be to contact that particular office to initiate a meeting, inaugural meeting, to work on that thing. Then to cut the first step, the committee shall adopt a resolution. This is what I'm referring to now, to initiate the bill of the committee. Also, maybe you cannot necessarily do it today, Chairperson, but you may need a subcommittee that will be dedicated to this particular initiative, not necessarily the entire committee. We can do that today, or we can maybe do it at a later stage. Following the adoption of the resolution of the committee, a draft memorandum, Chairperson, I must indicate as well, I've already started working on this memorandum. It must be developed as required by the Rule 273, subsection 1, and a draft bill permission is granted by the National Assembly. In fact, once the permission is granted by the National Assembly, then public participation will then ensue without delay. Chair, on the 28th of September, for instance, in terms of our committee program, we are meeting with the stakeholders. Depending on when we get approval from the speaker, we could actually use this opportunity as part of the engagement process with the stakeholder, you know, as one of the opportunity to engage with them. Now, once the committee feels comfortable and adopts a resolution that it has developed the necessary draft legislation, it may then publish the draft bill in terms of the Government Gazette. That's in accordance to Assembly Rule 275, which further invites comments from members of Parliament. So, Chair, we might be the second portfolio committee that will go through this process. The first committee that undergone this process was the Department of Trade and Industry Portfolio Committee It was doing this when it amended the National Credit Act. I think it was in 2017 or 2018. No other committee has done this process. So it's more of an uncharted water for us, Chairperson. But I'm optimistic that maybe by the time we conclude our program during this sixth parliament, significant progress would have been registered in terms of this one. I'm not saying, Chairperson, we will be able to finish this bill before 2024, but the better we start, Chairperson, for me, or the sooner we start, the better for everyone. So in those few words, Chairperson, I would like to propose that we use this session to decide which of the bills we're going to be prioritizing going forward. Number two, we then take a resolution at the portfolio committee in line with section 273 subsection 1 of the rules of the National Assembly, so that as official we start in earnest running with this particular bill, Chairperson. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gumede. I know two hands. So what we're looking for is just initial comments from members on the process and also, if possible, support or amendment. So I see two hands. I'll give Honorable Hendricks first and then Honorable Kruger.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much for the wonderful introduction and motivating this committee to prepare the second portfolio committee bill of the sixth parliament, maybe other parliaments. So thank you very much for your inspiration, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we consulted with Advocate Anton Lochenberg after the City of Cape Town overturned tables at Gatesville. And we wrote to the committee secretary and we wrote to the chairman of the portfolio committee asking for a committee bill. And we suggested, we identified all the areas that needs to be addressed. So we've done substantial work. No one has come back to us yet. We're very disappointed. So we contacted the office of the deputy president and we're meeting with the delegation in connection with this this week to because he's the head of government business, and we thought that this committee is not very serious, about the call by the president that we need to take permits away from municipalities and that it be issued by the department, but that required legislative change. And Al-Jamaa has done substantial work in that regard at substantial costs to see to the needs of especially people who are trying to put food on the table and put the tables up. And the president also spoke about people having the freedom to put up tables wherever they are and sell to take them out of poverty. So I am not going to support the content supervisor if he has the vision that we've got that this will only be done in the seventh parliament. This must be completed in the sixth parliament, is the view of Al-Jamaa. We cannot be like the national government, which the content supervisor says are dragging their feet. And that is why, precisely why we're meeting with the deputy president to tell him, as leader of government business, that national department should stop dragging their feet on an important matter that President Ramaphosa raised during his State of the Nation address, because he knows that is how we're going to create jobs. He knows that is how we're going to take people out of poverty. And we know that the trading plan, the legislation allowing municipalities to establish trading plans where these businesses must take place, is worse than anything we had in the darkest days of apartheid. And that should be wiped off the face of the earth, because the trading plans of municipalities are designed in such a way to keep trade away from what they call black creep, far from so-called areas where there is money, where there are buyers, and it's largely in the previous white areas. So in very remote areas where there are no traffic, they put up these trading parks, if you can call it, and they make it so small that very few people can take part in it. And then to get permits is so competitive. And then to apply for a permit, our advocate explained to the committee secretary and the chairman of this committee the way that permits is issued by the city of Cape Town. You need to be an IT guru to be successful to get a trading permit to sell kusistas on the table or to buy a big bag of chips and make it into smaller packets. So my suggestion, and this is a proposal, Mr. Chairman, is that seeing that we're going to do the second bill, why don't we just focus on sorting out the permit issue, and all the other issues will just delay the successful implementation of this bill, not in the 7th Parliament, possibly in the 8th Parliament. But if we focus just on trading permits, we will be out. We will providing assistance where assistance is needed. So my suggestion is that the memorandum the draft memorandum should focus on the call by the president, and the president had good reasons, and that we are following up on that call because it is a great need for people to put food on the table. And if we just focus on the trading permits and leave the others to where it should be, that is the national department, they should be doing the other legislation. Don't let us do their dirty work. Let us now focus on just the permits, so we take it away from these autocratic municipalities that continue to oppress our people, and that we have a system where anyone can just register and within seconds get a trading permit and do business. And then obviously we need to make sure that our portfolio committee convinces the department to provide whatever support they can to these people who have permits, even if we have to provide funding for cleaning up wherever they trade, where we must do, where we can provide them with a little cells under which to trade and so on. But I don't want to go into that except to suggest and recommend to the committee, please don't try and do the 20 amendments to different acts that our acting portfolio committee chair referred to. Let's just do one. And then the motion of desirability should be adopted before the end of this year, financial year. Not financial year, before the end of this year, so that we can give a report to Parliament for the amendment to the bill, so that we won't be in time for Christmas, but we'll be in time for Easter, so that people that really need assistance, and that is the most vulnerable. And you saw the videos, Mr. Chairman, of how the law enforcement of the city of Cape Town overturned tables of the poorest of the poor in such a draconian way that we didn't even see in the days of apartheid, but we see it now. So let us do South Africa a favor and implement what President Ramaphosa called for in the State of the Nation of Address. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hendrik, Honorable Kruger.
Yes, thank you, Chair. The purpose of my hand was not to to come up with a proposal. I think your proposal is solid, and I want to say it categorically that I won't support Honorable Hendrik's proposal. So I will rather support your proposal. But saying that, I just want to ask for ask a question to the content advisor. According to my knowledge, the department is busy with a business amendment bill. Mustn't we first give them notice to stop with everything they're busy with, so that we can, carry on with our work? Because it's going to duplicate things. So I think there's just a little bit of a double dipping or double work that could be done. So I don't know what is the process if a department is already busy with similar legislation and the committee want to come and change the legislation. Must we wait first for them to finalize the legislation and then we come up with a bill, or can we as a committee come and say, listen, no, stop, it's okay, we took a resolution today that we will took over that, because you must remember the department is busy with the bill because it comes from cabinet, right? So actually cabinet give them give them the job to draw up the bill. So now we must go against cabinet and say, listen, no, we want to do our own thing. I just want to know the process, but I'm 100% in agreement that we must start working on this, because if we don't start working on this, nobody will ever, we won't see it before the end of Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. Colleagues, I want to see if there's other hands from other parties to also input on this, but let me just make one or two inputs. I think I'll ask Mr. Gumede to respond to this thing of whether we should wait for the cabinet process or the department process. How are we going to work with them? But I don't know the technical things, but I think what we want to do is we want to work in a collaborative way with the ministry and the department, and not throw out existing processes, but really complement it. I also want to encourage Honorable Hendricks that let's agree on the process first before we deal with the content, because let's not jump the gun. I think what we're looking for is now just the portfolio committee resolution. I know the permit issue is a one aspect, but I think there's many aspects that we as a collective portfolio committee must find each other on. So I'm asking us not to engage with the content and the issues and the themes now, but agree on a process. And the process that we'd want to agree on is as advised by our content advisor. So I'm just calling for us just to be patient with each other, but let's just agree on the technical process, because there's many steps, and we will have many opportunities to engage. So I think what we're asking for is three things. Is basically the resolution in the portfolio committee now, talk of a subcommittee that will drive this, or this portfolio will drive it, and then the next other stuff is the draft memorandum. So I think there's lots of technical process, but what we'd want to do today is just to get a resolution through from this portfolio committee, giving them, our content advisors, the mandate to liaise with the department, liaise with our input, get all of our input in, get the areas of emphasis that the different political parties want to have, look at what is there, and look at the time frame. Because the bill process itself, we need to find at least some level of consensus. We need to find some levels of priorities. We need to find, before we take it out for public comment. So I'm asking members not to jump that process now. We will, I assure you, we will have a lot of time in portfolio committees to engage and try to convince each other on the different things that must be added or amended or subtracted in the book. But I want us to confine ourselves to just supporting the process. So with that, can I just check other members? There is been a doctor for the Honorable Kruger has called for the adoption of the process. Can I hear? And members also? Hanif, Honorable Hendrik?
There's a lot of merits in your proposal. However, I'm going to oppose that proposal. And I want to support that I understand the process. I agree with you there. But the process, we need to give guidance to the content people that they need to focus. And we just want to, Al-Jamaa just wants to focus on the permit matters. And we feel that the reason we understand the Democratic Alliance, honorable members' position on permits. They don't want it to be taken away from the city of Cape Town and municipalities. They want to continue what they've done in Gatesville. So, Mr. Chairman, the African National Congress must now make a decision.
Point of order, Point of order. Thank you.
Okay. Members, I didn't really
want. I think this is not a political meeting, and it is not Parliament where we debate a lot of things. And I think Honourable Hendricks is out of order to point fingers to political party, because I propose that we accept your proposal is unacceptable, and I think he must withdraw.
Members, okay. Members, I really didn't want us to enter the debate now. Honorable Hendricks and Honorable Kruger, I think what we're doing now, we're actually entering the debate, because with all the merits that Honorable Hendricks have raised, I think the issue now is a bit premature. What I'm hearing Honorable Hendricks say that the bill must only cover permits, and I'm saying to you that there's many issues. Just like you as a political party want permits to be covered, there's other parties that would maybe want township to be covered, township revitalization to be covered. There's other parties that want ombudsman. There's other parties that want red tape reduction. So I think what we're doing now is jumping, pushing the cart before the wheel. What we must do now is first agree to this process that we're going to embark on, this parliamentary and public participation process, and we've committed ourselves to do the bill. I think that's what we need, members. And I want to call all of us to order. I'm not going to allow us to debate what must be in the bill now already. I think what we need to do is follow the legislative process, which is a very cumbersome process, but it has many steps. And I think Mr. Gumede has shared those steps to us in our inboxes, and he's also taken us through. So the first step that I really need this portfolio committee to agree with is the adoption of a resolution which says that we will embark on a bill process. However the bill is, whatever it will be called, however the issues is, those things are going to be debated at a later stage. Whether we're just going to do the permit bill or whether we're just going to do ombudsman bill, that is for the committee to decide. That is not what we're discussing now. So, Honorable Hendricks, I'm asking you to focus only on the process. Please confine yourself to either disagreeing to a process or agreeing to the process. That's what I'm asking members now. We're not entering the debate, because I also have many strong views on many things. But I think for now, as the chair, I'm ruling that we only going to confine ourselves to respond to what Mr. Gumede has said. Can I get voices from other members so that we don't have dialogue between Hendricks and Kruger? Can I check any other parties? We have a seconder. Can I? We have a mover. Can I get a seconder for this process?
Chairperson.
Yes.
Yeah, Chairperson. Sorry, man. There's a problem of a network. I've been trying to engage here. Yeah, no, we agree, Chairperson, on the process.
Okay.
We fully agree.
Thank you, Honorable. That's all I needed. We will engage each other. We will share and convince each other again. I'm not. Right. This is not the time now. So Honorable Mtenjani has seconded this, and we've got a resolution on the matter. Thank you very much, members. So what we'll do now...
Sorry, on a point of order, Mr. Chairman, I would like to record as a mass objection. We are not supporting that process because we feel that that is not the way to go. So we please record our objection to the process. We're going to speak to the Deputy President to support us with a private member's bill, just on the permits. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think let's record that. Members, with that recording of the objection and also getting the second, I think we've passed a resolution that this portfolio committee will engage on a bill process, a legislative process, the content, the themes, the issues, the priorities thereof. We will have political engagement and parties. We are encouraging parties to come and present key issues for them in the process as outlined to Mr. Gumede. Mr. Gumede, just any concluding remarks? Otherwise, we'll close this matter.
No, Chair. I think it's clear. Maybe for the comfort of Honorable Kruger, in the spirit of a cooperative governance, we definitely going to have to work with the Department of Small Business Development in this scenario, because as the implementing department, particularly in terms of the resources as well, they are constitutionally obligated to make those resources available. So we can't develop something that will hang in the air, not have a place. The place will be the Department of Small Business Development, including making budgets and including making sure that the resources are available to implement the bill. I think with those words, Chair, I think from our side, then it's the beginning of the process going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gumede and honorable members. So we've now passed the resolution and we'll record that as such, and we'll then allow our officials to continue. We want to encourage members to watch the space. We will please read and familiarize yourself with the poll process. We acknowledge the process, the parallel process of a private member's poll by Al-Jamal, and that's within their right. I think what we'll do is we will, at the appropriate time, I think it's the 28th of September, maybe if the program allows us to get the next steps going forward. But thank you, members. I think we've moved on this matter. It's a long, outstanding matter, and I think we need to now get the ball moving. So thank you again. Now I want to invite us to have the last item of our agenda, which is minutes of our previous meeting. Honorable Mr. Kuneni, can you take us through?
Thank you, Chairperson. These are the minutes, draft minutes of the portfolio committee that was sitting on Wednesday, 31st of August, 2022. And then it was the briefing by entities, that is CIDA and CIFA, on their key provincial performance issues for consideration by the portfolio committee. And then it was also the second item was the adoption of the previous minutes. So on page one, seeing members in attendance. Page two, it was the department and entities member, the officials that were in attendance. And then on the very same page three, was the explaining how the acting chairperson was elected, since the chairperson was not available, whereby Honorable Jacobs was elected as an acting chairperson by Ms. Lubengo being seconded by Mr. April. And then the proceeding that took place whereby Mr. Kruger made a follow-up on the formulation of an ad hoc committee. However, it was explained that the ad hoc committee is the role of the speaker who create an ad hoc committee. And then the agenda of the meeting was adopted from the Mr. April being seconded by Ms. Tomedan. Apologies were registered. That was the apology of the chairperson, Ms. Suela, Mr. Zungula, and Mr. De Villiers, and both the minister and the deputy ministers. Then the presentations by a small enterprise finance agency, whereby the leader of the delegation, which was the DG, Mr. Mkumane, handed over to the executives, officers of both entities to make their presentations. The presentation of CIFA was done by the CEO, Mr. Mkolis Machaba. The presentation of CIDA was done by Mr. Nkosikhona Mbatha, who is an acting chief executive officer for CIDA. And then page 4, which deals with the deliberations and the concerns that were raised by the committee members. Then page 6, it was the responses that were given by the entities. Page 6 still was the resolution whereby the department was should finish the committee with progress in the implementation and progress of TREP on quarterly basis, and that members wanted to get database of enterprises supported and plans for unsuccessful application what to be done. And then it was also resolved that both the department and entities should work with Informal Traders Association in ensuring its visibility and programs available for informal traders. And then the last one was the committee should put on plans in place for development and support for cooperatives, since it was identified that there were no cooperatives that were supported during the financial year of 2021-2022. Then number page 7, it was a consideration of minutes which were tabled and then were adopted after the proposal of Mr. Mtenjane, Mr. April. And then it was the chairperson's remarks on the towards the close of the meeting. The meeting ended here 30:15. And it was under the leadership of Mr. Honorable Jacobs as the acting chairperson. Chairperson, I move that the committee adopt or say something about the meeting, the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kunene. Members, there you have it. Those that were in the meeting, is it the honest reflection of the meeting? Can we get a seconder? Members, are you still there? Can I get a mover and a seconder, please?
April is moving, Chair.
Thank you. Mayeni, Honorable Mayeni, are you seconding?
Yes, Honorable Mayeni is seconding.
Thank you very much, Chair. Members, the minute is adopted, and that concludes the business of today. Thank you, members, and we see each other in the house. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Long live the Faiz.
Long live the Weep.